What's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's a Monday. We're here at the Jacobson Building, and it's the seniors. What's up, Rob Gray?
Not a mucho.
What? Not much?
Yeah.
I thought we were done with Spanish.
I just thought I'd throw a little bit out there.
No, we're done with the Spanish.
You don't like Espanol?
No.
No te gusta?
I just had to take the class.
Okay, fine. Let's roll. We got a win to talk about. Obviously, big challenge in Baylor rolling in for 11 a.m. next Saturday. So, let's get it started.
Yeah, so we just got out of the Matt Campbell press conference. And things weren't as light as I thought they might be.
Yeah, it was pretty standard. But he talks about the even keel, and I think it was very evident today. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of extra. There wasn't anything that was at all self-congratulatory.
No,
I mean, they're 1-3. First 2 weeks looked particularly unimpressive.
Yeah,
and disjointed and not really together as a team. That's what really struck me the last couple games, is how much they seem to be playing for each other, which was always something on the basketball side. Fred Hoiberg stressed, obviously Coach Prohm stresses it. You're seeing that a little bit more, I think. So that's a good thing. But yeah, it wasn't light in the least. In fact, the only thing it was light on was content.
Yeah.
It wasn't any longer or shorter. You know,
it was actually shorter.
Yeah, a little bit shorter than the standard.
Yeah. So really the biggest news to come out of it was J.P. Filbert, who was suspended 2 weeks ago now for a violation of team rules, was Coach Campbell, he termed it, has been suspended indefinitely, and he'll let us know if there's a situation in which he'll be back with the team. And then he was asked whether or not J.P. is with the team, and he said no. So yeah. J.P. is not with the team. I would guess he will not be back this season.
I think that's a safe guess, bet. Safe bet right there, based on what we were hearing as to what precipitated the suspension in the first place as well. And, man, the line has been playing better.
Yeah.
And to see guys get, as Joel Lanning said after the game, untouched.
Shed of the shredder.
Yep. We got to make that a hashtag sometime.
Yeah.
Maybe a t-shirt.
There we go.
But, excuse me, they flat out played better.
Yeah.
Without, I know that doesn't mean then maybe they wouldn't have played better with it, you know, because he might come back. He might, you know, get things figured out and get back in the good graces. But as of now, granted, we don't know. San Jose State isn't setting the world on fire. They're 1-3.
Right.
But this was the worst loss they took, and it was pretty dominating performance by the Cyclones. So that's a big positive to see how much the line has improved.
I never saw if BV came back to beat Simpson or not. On Saturday.
Oddly enough, I didn't check either.
Brian Shetta told us that's where he wanted to. Yep. That was his backup plan.
Yeah,
that
was his BV. Possible scholarship options. He had zero.
Well, they don't have scholarships there.
Well, they probably do some academic help and all that kind of stuff that are related.
It'd still be more expensive than Iowa State.
You sure?
I
don't know how
close.
Much they would give him.
I bet it'd be close.
Well, that may be true, and that's also immaterial. But yeah, he's been really good. Shetta the Shredda.
So the quarterbacks, this stat was here in the notes this week. Saturday marks the first time that Iowa State had a pair of quarterbacks throw for two or more touchdowns in a game since 1976 against the Air Force Academy.
The U.S. Bicentennial. I remember it well. And that great team, too, which was honored here a few weeks back. They were good together, weren't they?
Yeah.
Now, again, can they do that against Baylor? Can they do that against Okie State? Can they do that against K-State? You know, whomever. But, that's interesting. And then, of course, the first 5-touchdown game period since the legendary Steel Giants did it to Baylor in 2012. The Jake Knott game, too.
All I know is that during the game when I saw the dual quarterback system, all I thought of was Wayne Stanley and Buddy Hardeman.
Yeah, Stanley, of course, you know, a lot of Cyclone fans of a certain age certainly know of and revere. But, yeah, Buddy is a bit more of an obscure name. And obviously the younger Cyclone fans, they both are. So I get you. I get you on that one.
It sounds like they're going to stick with this dual quarterback thing. I think that it's the right thing to do. The tag team, as Coach Hoff termed it.
Yeah, I only wish that they had decided what the tag team would be called, mm-hmm. or if it was patterned after a certain tag team.
Yeah.
Of the past in WWE, or when it was known as the WWF, until the World Wildlife Fund wrestled that acronym away from them.
I thought it was the World Wildlife Federation.
I believe it's the World Wildlife Fund.
Oh, okay.
Either way, it seems to be working.
Yeah.
They both had better moments, I thought, in the TCU game. And just when you think someone, like Park, really got on a roll there, is kind of not only inching ahead but taking strides. You know, Lannon gets his drive, has the big scoring strike, the 49-yarder, and they each keep doing good things. And the way they talk about each other, it's almost like an aw shucks kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like the quote about, I can just see them sitting there. Hey, if I wouldn't want to be in a quarterback competition with anybody else. You know, you could see almost like, you know, excuse me, it's like a commercial. Touching really. And again, it's working. And those guys are,
come on, Rob.
Good Lord.
Turn your phone off, man. We're doing a podcast here.
It's because it's ringing on my computer too. But, both productive. I think it's a good thing to keep going, you know, until one just goes on a tear.
I feel like even if one, the way he made it sound today, someone would have to do something pretty crazy to take control, I think, at this point.
Yeah, that's the
same. Jacob Park might have to go like 20 for 20 with 500 yards and 6 touchdowns or something.
Yeah, that's the sense I got too. But what struck me the most, well, not necessarily the most, but one of the big things that struck me about the success of it against San Jose State was they didn't have that many attempts to put up the kind of yards and
so
points that they did.
So efficient.
You know, that was reminiscent of what you want out of Big 12. I mean, Baylor doesn't always run a lot of plays.
Right.
But they put up a lot of points, and they put them up fast. And that's something that both of those guys were able to do. Again, I'll say, admittedly, against a lesser foe without their starting quarterback. But, I think a defense that had at least shown some signs, like they'd turn teams over occasionally, and they weren't able to get really anything going against the Cyclones offense.
Really the only time that they did get him to turn over was on the Mike Warren fumble.
Yep.
And should we be concerned about this? Like, are we at a point now where we should be worried about Mike Warren fumbling? Is this a problem?
I think
2 years into his career?
I think it's...
Or is it a conundrum?
That takes the problem, I guess, to another. Another step. I think as long as it doesn't lead to the woe is me stuff, sky is, now what are we going to do? It's not that big of a deal at this point, particularly on Saturday, because Jamal Wiltz comes and gets the pick right after that fumble, which was, again, a spectacular play by Warren up to that point, a short, kind of a screen pass and runs whatever it was, 50 yards. And just and he said today his response to that stuff is getting better. And we saw in the game, too, his most productive runs came after that. You know, sat out a series, I think, and then he was able to get stronger as the game went on after that, whereas he admitted that last year, those would really get in his head, and he would basically in the back of his mind shaking his head constantly about why it happened, and it would affect his play down the road.
I think he knows too. Like, he's not in denial about the fact that it's something he's got to fix.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely knows it, but he's also not. Dwelling on it doesn't really do you any good.
Was it Tiki Barber that used to have really bad fumbling problems, and then he revolutionized the way he carried the football or something?
I think that was something that Tiki did.
That we need to get Tiki Barber in here to work with Mike Warren on holding the ball.
That would be interesting. That would be a fun interview.
Yeah. I lost my thought. Let's turn the page to Baylor here. We've got our guys that we need to. That everybody needs to keep an eye on. Obviously, anyone that knows anything about Baylor knows about Seth Russell.
Yes.
They know about Shaq Linwood. Katie Cannon, they probably know about him.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Grobe, the current Baylor head coach, 0-2 against the Cyclones.
That's stunning.
I can tell you when it was.
He's been a coach for a long time.
1995, Iowa State with a 36-21 win over the Ohio Bobcats. And then in 2000, a 25-15 win over the Bobcats. Jim's offenses haven't had a great deal of success here against Iowa State, I'd say.
No, they haven't. And they didn't have the type of players that you mentioned either. But that is an interesting trivia bit, you know. I'm sure, I guess I hope it's on his mind.
Yeah.
You know. Coach will admit now at the same time, defensive coordinator Phil Bennett.
Yeah.
He's had a pretty good amount of success.
Yeah, he was the Iowa State, a lot of people know about this. Yeah. Iowa State defensive coordinator from 1984 to 1986.
Yep, and has been putting out pretty good Baylor defenses in the last few years. Cyclones got him here in 2012 in that Chance and Jake Knott game. Got him pretty good, held him to 20 points. But I don't know. We're not to the prediction mode yet, but I'm back to thinking that the Cyclones can be pretty darn competitive against a bunch of these Big 12 teams right now.
I think
now.
They can be competitive. I don't know if I'm going to pick any win, though.
Yeah, I can't yet either.
Well, I mean, I think they're going to be Kansas, but...
Yeah, yeah. I think they'll pick at least somebody else off, too.
What'd K-State do this weekend?
K-State, I think the game was weather-shortened, but they beat up on Missouri State. I think it was 35-0.
Heck of a challenge.
Yeah.
Come on, Vampire.
Yep. Yep. Well, should have had him last year, but we won't talk about that game until the next meeting swings into view. But so,
who are some of the other guys we got to know for Baylor, though?
Well, you know, Ish Zamora, of course, an embattled guy from some off the field things, and hasn't Baylor had off the field?
Is he the one that did he run for quite a few yards against Iowa State last year?
Oh, he is a receiver.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But he had just big play after big play against Okie State. Uh-huh. He was the guy that they were hitting constantly on the sideline, making big catches. And, you know, he's averaging 22 yards a catch right now. Now, he was suspended up until that game. So, he's somebody to watch out for. Jamichael Hasty in the running game, 6.8 yards a pop.
Jeez.
Shifty, strong, even though he's not big at all. They got a lot of guys, and on defense, I don't know if you can say about Baylor that you're been that don't break, but I mean they got 41 tackles for loss. I mean that's pretty good.
Played some really awful teams too.
They have, I think, more so than Iowa State.
Yeah.
But 9 sacks, same as the Cyclones. You know, good secondary, good solid group. I mean, you got Edwards. Stands out for me a little bit, but I've always got such big bodies up front, and big, fast, and strong bodies, so a lot to try to work through, and obviously last year's game was kind of seemed to kindle some hope, too, because Lanning came in and had a lot of nice,
right,
positive plays. It was kind of his coming into his own game, because he didn't know where he was before that. He'd gotten some mop-up duty, I think, the previous week, and kind of turned it over to him there, you know, with mixed results, obviously, going forward from that. But a lot of interesting, you know, subplots to this one. But obviously, the big plot is can the Cyclones translate the positivity from last Saturday and forward into Big 12 play?
I feel like if they play like they did last week, they have a chance to keep it. I think it could be close at halftime into the third quarter.
I think it will be close at halftime into the third quarter myself. Yeah. I we both agree.
They didn't create some turnovers. They're going to have to be able to do that again.
And we'll see if the bunches, goes from one game to the next. I think an encouraging aspect of that is it's so many different guys, 4 picks, 4 guys. And Nigel Tribune made it possible for Cotton Moya's pick on that one. So a lot of guys getting their hands on balls, a lot of guys getting turned around, putting themselves in position to do that stuff instead of just, well, I kind of covered the guy. You know, they're now in a position to make the plays. And I don't know if it was – maybe it was Dan McCarney's big speech about making plays.
Yeah, go make the play. You see a chance to make a play, go make the play.
And the tone of his voice and the way he talks, I know you were here for when he was here. I mean, if you can embody – if a voice and a gesture yeah. embody the term, I don't know if it's inspirational, I don't know if it's a kind of an exhortation or something that just impels you to do what's being discussed. He kind of delivers that, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. He's an awesome guy to listen to talk. Did you see his story that he told about Bill Snyder?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Anyone that said that was a good move.
It would be
BS. BS, yeah. Yeah. We don't cuss here on the seniors.
Not much anyway.
If this was on the trail, I'd cuss.
Yeah. Gray always.
Yeah. I feel like I have to be more proper in the presence of this gray.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more buttoned up, aren't I?
Yeah, Adam brings out the worst in me.
And in some ways the best, though.
I don't know about that. I feel like I've got a good chance. I got a good feeling about this game.
Yeah. If I let's throw out our
predictions. I've had a good feeling about it for a while, mm-hmm. but I have a really good feeling about it now.
I have a good, you had to see how they were going to react after weeks one and two.
Right.
Because I think fans were right to wring their hands and think, if they're going to play like that, you're constantly shooting themselves in the foot, never picking each other up. Mm-hmm. If something went wrong on one side, then it just compounded on the other side, and it just rolled and rolled and rolled downhill in a bad way. Seeing the response against DCU, which was a far from perfect game, lost by 3 touchdowns. But the fact that guys started to be more resilient, and then last week they were very resilient. When something went wrong, somebody picked somebody else up. The goal line stand, we haven't had a lot of those in the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
I think I'm not only going to pick them to be competitive in this game, but I just don't see a whole lot of games in the Big 12 that they won't be competitive in. Again, can't pick it and win, but let's go ahead and do our predictions. I think the Cyclones put some points on the board and the defense plays a little bit better. Maybe 38-27 type loss in which it's close, very close, maybe even deep into the third quarter.
I'll go with like 42-24.
Okay.
I think that I'm still just not convinced about Iowa State's ability to avoid missed assignments. Because it just seems like there's still too many situations when there's wide receivers running open. And
yep.
When you get up against a team like this where they're going to have those receivers running deep a lot, I've seen that video too many times to think that they're not going to be able to bust a couple of those big ones.
Yeah, and we know Russell can tuck it and run for 20, 25 yards. And then you've got Hasty, you've got Linwood, you got a stable of guys that can exploit it once they've spread you not only wide but deep. Mm-hmm. And, they're adept at doing that. I just have a feeling, I don't know, the offense has got something going a little bit. And the defense has a little bit of, I don't know. It might sound cheesy and corny, but there's a vibe of togetherness and there's a vibe of really being accountable to each other that I haven't seen among this team.
Yeah.
It's certainly at this level. I think guys wanted it, but they really displayed it in a big way on Saturday and to some degree the week before. So as long as that element remains in play, I like him to be competitive going forward. And I see at least a couple wins on the horizon. I mean, if they'll pummel Kansas if they play like they've been playing the last few weeks.
What do you think the crowd's going to be like on Saturday?
Well, if the weather's good, I think it's going to be a pretty good crowd.
But that's what I thought about last Saturday. Someone asked me I did a radio interview this morning, and he asked me about the crowd. I didn't even think anything of it. It didn't seem any worse than any other 11 a.m. kick I've ever been to, I guess.
It was a decent crowd, and keep in mind that a lot of
a good-sized crowd, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the lots were closed.
Yeah.
So some people that may have come to games will go, where am I going to park? I mean, that would have a significant impact. But, I mean, also, hey, you're 0-3.
Yeah.
You know, the honeymoon period had worn off. And
I just didn't know if I was the only person that did. I didn't really even think anything of it. Like, like I knew that the crowd was a little small. There were some big spots in the student section that were pretty open.
Yeah.
But I still didn't think, like, oh, my God, what an awful showing from the Iowa State fans.
No, I thought it was a pretty decent showing, actually.
Right.
It was another 50,000-plus crowd.
It wasn't one of those situations where someone takes a picture of it's 15 minutes before TCU kick, and there's no one there.
Yeah, or Baylor, you know? At times, yeah.
Right.
Again, 0-3. You had a huge crowd for you. I always do. One of the most attended games in program history, you know, about that, about top five, top six.
Uh-huh.
It's going to dip to some degree. I mean, heck, back when McCartney had people running through walls for him, and unfortunately not enough success toward the tail end of his tenure, you were way down, you know, and you're in the 30s. You're, you know, that's a far cry from where we're at now.
Definitely.
So I think it'll be a crowd similar to last week, probably a couple thousand more.
I would agree. I was kind of taken aback when he asked me about that. So,
yeah.
I want to remind everybody, CFTV Live tomorrow, Tuesday, 12:15. Me and Jeff Woody and Adam Gray will break down the film from the win over San Jose State. There's going to be positive things to talk about.
I was going to say, it's always a good watch/listen. And, you know, it'll be cool to see Jeff explaining how some of the things that went right.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume we'll break down some of the interceptions too, which were just, that's fundamentals. That's, and they were fundamentally sound there. I get your point. Great point about missed assignments earlier, though. There's still some of those that need to be cleaned up. And can the tackling, which has been much better the last 2 weeks since very poor in the Iowa game, can that continue to be at least solid, adequate? But yeah, it'll be great to see some of those positive plays broken down.
And then, of course, we'll have On the Trail on Wednesday. Adam and I'll record tomorrow. We'll get that posted. There's been there'll be a lot of stuff to talk about with Iowa State recruiting. Obviously, the big recruiting weekend for basketball. Lindell Wigginton, Isaiah Stokes, and Terrence Lewis all coming on their official visits. Plus, the a good handful of football guys were in town as well. So we'll have all that to talk about. And then I want to give one more shout out to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Thursday night, we're going to give away 2 free tickets for the answer for Brent Bloom's trivia question. We're going to do a better job of hyping that up a little bit this week. So,
excellent.
Want to make sure and remind everybody about that. Bench Warmers in Ankeny, Thursday night from 6 to 7, or you can tune in on 1460 KXNO. Rob, you got anything else?
I don't. Just looking forward to another game week.
Definitely. We didn't even talk about Troy Davis. Troy Davis this week.
Still in town. Yeah. Still in town. I know they're doing something big on him for CFTV. And you shared some great McCartney stories on him.
Uh-huh.
As well. But I heard there's a chance we might be able to
interview him?
Have some availability with them later this week. So
nice.
Stay tuned on that stuff.
Definitely. All right. For Rob Gray, I'm Jared Stansberry. Thanks for listening, everybody.